Alameda County Board of Supervisors Personnel Administration Legislation Committee, Monday, February 11th, 2019.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Board of Supervisors PAL Committee meeting for Monday, February 11th. We'll start with a federal update.
Hi, it's Emily and Patrick from CJ Lake. The House and Senate are both in session this week and are scheduled to recess on Friday for the week-long President's Day recess. The House has actually canceled votes and most hearings tomorrow to allow members to attend the funeral of former Representative John Dingell, a Democrat from Michigan, the longest serving member of the House, I think 50 plus years. the Senate this week plans to vote on a bipartisan public lands package that would reauthorize the Land and Water Conservation Fund, among numerous other pieces of legislation. And then we also expect the full Senate to vote on William Barr's nomination to be the next Attorney General. And of course, as you all know, the current continuing resolution runs through this Friday, February 15th. So, top of mind is also reaching a deal on FY19 approach. And that kind of moves me into our next subject, which is the DHS Conference Committee. And as I'm sure you saw, talks broke down over the weekend. but I do know that the big four, House and Senate chairs and ranking members of the full Appropriations Committee, were meeting this afternoon. They started meeting about an hour ago to see if they could restart discussions. And they still have not reached a deal on funding for the actual wall. And then one of the issues that has come to light, although it's always been around, but it's a dispute among Democrats and Republicans on whether to put a cap on the number of undocumented immigrants officials can detain. Democrats have argued for a cap to force ICE to detain criminals rather than undocumented immigrants with no criminal history. Excuse me. But Republicans have resisted a detention limit, and that's kind of what stopped the talks over the weekend. What we are hearing is if they can't reach some sort of deal, I think the hope is, or congressional leaders are hoping they can convince President Trump to let those six appropriations bills go that have already been conferenced, transportation HUD, agriculture, commerce, justice, science, I think financial services is one, state foreign ops, basically allow all of those bills to go forward and then just have some sort of CR for Homeland. If they want to keep negotiating, it could be short-term CR, or we've also heard potentially a year long, but we're not quite certain what that actually gets the president. So, and again, you never know with him, but those are some of the ideas that people are batting around. He will also be at the border tonight, and there's talk that he may mention again this idea of declaring a national emergency in order to spend DOD funding on the wall without needing consent of Congress. Again, that can be challenged. Not only would there be resolutions of disapproval likely brought up by the House and the Senate, but it can be legally challenged as well. So we'll probably get stymied in the courts, but those are kind of the options as of now. Next up, the Senate Rules and Administration Committee plans to take up a proposal on Wednesday to overhaul the way the Senate considers certain nominations. As you all know, a priority for the Senate in the last 2 years, and Leader McConnell has said will continue to be, is pushing through judicial nominations at all levels. The one tool that Democrats have had is to basically slow things down, and so after they've received a vote on cloture, so they've needed 60 votes to proceed, they then have 30 hours of debate, and Democrats have basically taken that out. So that it slowed the process down. This proposal would basically take that 30 hours and move it to 2. So again, they would still need at least 7 Democrats to get them to that 60-vote threshold, but it would then shorten the time needed so they could likely take up more nominations than they already have. One other thing we wanted to highlight just today, Senator Bob Menendez from a Democrat from New Jersey and Representative Bill Pascrell, another Democrat from New Jersey, introduced the Stop Attacking Local Taxpayers Act of 2019. That stands for SALT. It's a bicameral bill to repeal the federal cap on state and local tax deductions on those SALT deductions. You know, that language was included in the big tax package that passed in December of 17. Both Menendez and Pascrell are members of the Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committee, so those committees do have jurisdiction over tax policy. It would fully restore the SALT deduction. It would also restore the top individual income tax rate at 39.6%. President Trump has said as recently as last week that he's open to this. Chairman Grassley, Republican from Iowa of the Finance Committee, has said he does not plan to take up this bill this year, but just wanted to flag for you because I know it's something that we were following during debate of the tax proposal in December of 2017. Patrick's here. He's going to touch on a few more items.
Yeah. On family separation, last week the House Energy and Commerce Oversight Subcommittee held a hearing on President Trump's family separation policy. While this is the second hearing in a few months on the family separation policy, Democrats are now in control of the Energy and Commerce Oversight Subcommittee. They heard from Jonathan White from the Department of Health and Human Services, and he told the committee that 2,816 children that were separated from their parents as a result of President Trump's policy, zero tolerance policy, there are six unresolved cases as of the day of the hearing. There was a second panel of witnesses, which included people from the ACLU, pediatric and children's mental health organizations, and refugee and immigration services. They testified to the varying devastating effects of separating children from their parents at the border. Along those same lines, other committees in the House were planning to take up or were planning to hear about the family separation policy. The House Judiciary Committee was scheduled to hold a hearing tomorrow, but as Emily said, because of Congressman Dingell's funeral, they have postponed that hearing until February 26th. The House Oversight Committee also postponed its scheduled hearing tomorrow, and a makeup date for that has not been scheduled yet. But then, in terms of other hearings this week, the House Financial Services Committee will hold a hearing on Wednesday on homelessness in America. Also, in the Financial Services Committee, the Subcommittee on Housing, Community Development, and Insurance will hold a hearing on Thursday on the affordable housing crisis in rural America. Other issues this week, the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health will hold a hearing on strengthening the healthcare system and legislation to reverse the ACA sabotage and ensure pre-existing condition protections. And then there's a few others that we'll include in the notes as well.
We will definitely be monitoring, and we'll send out a memo on the Financial Services Committee hearing on, you know, potential solutions in homelessness. We'll get that out to you on Wednesday. And that's our report for this week.
Okay, questions? We have a request from healthcare and my office to urging U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to rescind the Title 10 regulations. Are there any questions on that? Comments? Okay, we'll forward that on. State?
So we are in session today. We are anticipating on that the budget subcommittees will begin meeting at the end of February, first being February 25th. Both budget committees have been meeting and reviewing on an informational basis homelessness issues. This week there is a hearing specifically on Medi-Cal and the expansion that the governor is proposing. We will monitor that and report out to the PAL committee as well as your staff. The administration did release their list of budget trailer bills. We've worked with your staff to identify the ones that are key that we want to keep a very close eye on, working with budget committee staff as well as the Department of Finance. We have that list. So far, there's only been language released on one of those budget trailer bills that's of importance to the Board of Supervisors. And so as those bills are released, language is released, we will get this out to staff. The governor is doing his first State of the State tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Not a lot has been leaked to date. However, he is, as we speak, holding a press conference right now on his announcement to remove the National Guard from the California-Mexico border and reallocate those individuals to three different areas within California. One is CAL FIRE, wildfire prevention and suppression efforts. The other is statewide counter-drug task force, of which he would need the Trump administration's Department of Defense to agree to, so we're not sure that that will actually happen. The third category is intelligence operations targeting drug cartels. So again, he's holding that press conference as we speak. We'll have more details later. One thing we know he's going to be highlighting in his State of the State tomorrow is homelessness. That's a very big issue for him. As you know, it's a very big issue for the county locally. So we will, once we get some additional details on what his State of the State looks like, as well as what others have, their responses, we'll get those out to your staff. His appointment process has slowed down a little bit, understandably. He's been in for about 36 days now, and he has his key people in place. He did send a letter after he won to all existing, not all, many of the existing appointments, individuals, and said, you are welcome to stay if you'd like to. So there's not a huge gap of appointments he has yet to fill. And like I said, he has filled in his areas that are important to him. He's also created some new positions. He's growing the governor's office a little bit, whereas Jerry Brown, given the recession and everything else going on in the state of California, tended to shrink government. He's growing it a little bit, expanding the office of first partner. He is creating a homelessness czar, an aging czar, who he really wants to kind of do a deeper dive. And as we've mentioned over and over again, with his budget being budget year plus three, we're going to see just a lot of one-time dollars, do things that we haven't seen in the past. So, and again, we have money. Our revenues are down about $2 billion as of February 1st from the January budget. But again, we anticipate that he will focus on that tomorrow and shed a little bit more light. It's important to note that some important dates that are coming up, February 22nd being the bill introduction deadline. That's key, as you know. There hasn't been a ton of bills introduced to date, but we are itemizing those by category and getting those out to the appropriate staff to try and get positions in front of the PAL committee. Additionally, we have been meeting, and the Sacramento team has been meeting with your delegation to let them know you've adopted your priorities for the year, give them a copy of the ledge priority packet so they've got it, also talking to them about potential legislation to carry on our behalf, and we'll continue to circle back. There are some new staff members, so we're looking forward to getting some of your folks up here to Sacramento so we can do some introductions with some of your new legislators as well as your staff. We've also seen some staff changes, fortunately going from one part of the district to another part, so that's good because they carry that institutional memory and understand what the county's priorities are. So that's all we have to report for today.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, any public comment? Right, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
She said, homeless.
Aging.